In a series of talks on comfort, it would be highly improper to omit reference to the two persons of the Godhead who are referred to in Scripture as comforters. And so we propose now to look at some of the things said about them. We made a brief reference to the comforter when we were thinking of the three good cheers the Lord Jesus gave during his earthly ministry. We found that one of those cheers was given to allay the fears of his disciples when they saw him walking toward them on the sea. What a companion and comforter he was to them during the 3 years or so they went about together, and how they looked to him at every turn as their leader and provider. And when, on that last evening, he had to tell the 11 he was leaving them and returning to his Father, what loving care and consideration he showed in assuring them of the coming of another Comforter. Let us turn to chapter 14 of John's Gospel. John's Gospel, chapter 14, verses 1 to 3. John 14:1. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, would I have told you, I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Verse 15. If ye love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you for ever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he abideth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. Verse 25. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet abiding with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. No doubt the Lord's immediate purpose was not only to comfort them, but also to prepare them for the coming of the Holy Spirit, who was to endue them with power from on high, enabling them to witness as to his resurrection and saving power. And this they, and others did, during the period covered by the Acts of the Apostles. But thank God it didn't finish there and then. In chapter 8 of Romans, Paul has a lot to say about the Spirit, and in verse 16 says, "The Spirit himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." And in that wonderful prayer in chapter 3 of Ephesians, he prays for the saints that God would grant them to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. How we need the comfort of this strengthening today, because, like the Ephesian saints, we too wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age. And that darkness is rapidly increasing as lawlessness grows apace. Our hearers will know that comforter, used 4 times in John's Gospel, comes from a Greek word which means one called alongside. But we started by referring to the two persons of the Godhead who act as comforters. Whilst the Holy Spirit is our comforter here on earth, John's first epistle, chapter 2 and verse 1, tells us that if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the propitiation for our sins. advocate in the original is the same word as comforter. How wonderful and gracious is the provision made for us by our Heavenly Father day by day and moment by moment in our walk down here. We can call alongside as a helper and strengthener of our weak faith the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. And if and when we do fail and fall into sin, and alas, how often we do, there at the right hand of God the Father is that other Comforter and Advocate, the Lord Jesus Christ, ever living, to intercede for us. In Romans chapter 15 and verse 4, Paul points out that the things which were written aforetime were written for our learning or instruction, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. None of our hearers, we trust, would deny the statement in the last verse of Peter's second epistle and chapter 1, that the men of God who made known the prophecy of the Scripture were moved or borne along by the Holy Spirit. He then, the Comforter, being the author of the Scriptures, it is not surprising that the Bible is full of comfort and encouragement for the children of God. The Holy Spirit is the author of faith, because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It is He who sheds the love of God abroad in our hearts, Romans chapter 5 and verse 5, and in whom the promise has been sealed to us as the earnest or pledge of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, Ephesians chapter 1 verses 13 and 14. In John chapter 16 verses 7 to 15, we are told more about the ministry of the Spirit of Truth. We read of the threefold conviction of the world concerning sin, righteousness, and judgment. In verses 13 and 14, we read of His teaching ministry. He is to be the guide into all truth. What a comfort that is when men are belittling the Word of God, referring to it as myths and fables, and putting forward their own human ideas instead. Let us ignore their fallible notions and seek that spiritual discernment, which is another of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. It was Charles Wesley who wrote, "Come, Holy Ghost, for moved by thee, the prophets wrote and spoke. Unlock the truth, thyself the key, unseal the sacred book." The Holy Spirit was to show the disciples things to come, a prophetic ministry. The Apostle John, who recorded these words, was subsequently used by the Holy Spirit to write the book of Revelation, that record of things yet to come. And the Holy Spirit has a glorifying ministry. "He shall glorify me," said the Saviour. And that is the acid test for trying every spirit. Let's just look at John's first epistle and chapter 4, verse 1. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world." And it should be the true standard for every phase of our lives, here and now. Does this glorify Christ?